have done in the past, you know. Let's see here. I guess I'll tell you a joke. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise and glory. We honor the mothers. But Father, we even honor you today because when you met Abraham, you met him as God Almighty. And that's El Shaddai. And part of the word Shaddai means the breasted one. So, you know, Father, even that was your love nature that met Abraham and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And because of your love, he had a life-changing encounter with God. And you know, you can't, when you talk about the love of God, anytime that the love of God, you have an encounter with that, you're going to come away with a change. And when your name gets changed, that means your whole nature got changed. And Abraham's nature got changed after that. And that's why he's considered to be the father of faith. And we just thank you, Lord, that you appeared in God Almighty, even with the love nature of a mother and the ultimate mother. Praise God. Now, this joke is, a burglar broke into a house one night and he shined his flashlight around looking for valuables when he heard a voice in the dark say, "Jesus knows you're here." He nearly jumped out of his skin, clicking his flashlight off, and froze. Then he heard another heard nothing more, but after a bit he shook his head and he continued. Just as he pulled the stereo out so that he could disconnect the wires, clear as a bell, he heard, "Jesus is watching you." Freaked out, he shined his light around frantically, looking for the source of the voice. Finally, in the corner of the room, the flashlight beamed and came to rest on a parrot. "Did you say that?" he hissed at that parrot. "Yep," the parrot confessed, then squawked, "I'm just trying to warn you. He's watching you." The burglar relaxed. "Warn me, huh? Who in the world are you?"
"Moses,"
replied the bird. "Moses," the burglar laughed. "What kind of people would name their bird Moses?" "The same kind that would name their Rottweiler Jesus." I like that one. Jesus was watching him. He was in trouble. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about mothers. I'll pause for a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, just have your way. Give you all praise, glory, and honor for everything you do here today. And I ask you to just pour yourself through me by your Spirit. I know you're inside of me, and just pour yourself out and just minister to hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about two mothers. I'm going to talk about Margaret. She's my children's mother. She was a great mother, and, you know, she is always there for the kids and will do anything in the world for them anytime that they need anything. She's always there. And, you know, I remember one time, we only had two children, but I remember one time when we were real young Christians, she told me in the morning, she said, "I had a dream." I said, "What was your dream?" She said, a big person appeared to me and said, "It's written that she'd have more kids." Well, she had had a operation where she couldn't have no more kids. But I'm going to tell you what, she had a bunch of kids. Because she babysitted, and this goes for you too, Kathy, she babysitted her two nieces, and to this day, they're more like her daughters almost than her daughter is. They call her all the time. They send her pictures all the time. They invite her out to lunches and stuff all the time, you know, and you know, their mother was a nice lady in a way, but she wasn't always the best mother in the world as far as I was concerned, as far as spiritually concerned. And you know, I know Margaret loved them, and they still kid about that Margaret would always tell them when they were bad, "You want me to get that paint stirrer off the top of the refrigerator?" And they laugh about it because she'd spank them with a paint stirrer if they were bad, you know, when they were little. And I'm telling you what, they just love her to death, you know, and they're always calling her. And she watched this little boy down the street for these teachers. And when they had their second baby, they asked her, would she watch him too? And she told him no, that she was going to retire from babysitting, you know, because she said she'd had enough of it. And they just kept asking her and stuff and almost begging her to watch him because she'd always teach these kids. They'd watch little shows and they'd learn songs and all kind of things, you know. And I was sitting on the porch with her one day, and one of the little boys that she watched came up, and he sat down on the porch, and I'm sitting there, and I could tell he wanted to say something to her, so I got up and went in the house so he'd say whatever he had to say. And then he said to her, "Sis, it's nice to be together, you know." But she had that kind of effect on kids. And we can't go in a restaurant or anything without her making faces at kids and them waving at her and all kind of stuff. And she has that kind of effect on little kids. And they really just love her. And they sense the love she has for them. Now, I'm talking to you about my mother a little bit. You know, my mother, my dad died when I was 4. And there was 4 of us kids. The oldest one was 10, my sister Sue. And my dad died in 1951, I believe it was. And I was only 4 years old. Back then, women couldn't get a very good job, you know. So mother got a job in a factory. Well, she graduated from high school, and mother was a very smart lady. And she graduated from high school and everything, which was, and back in them days, not everybody graduated from high school, you know what I mean. And, you know, she came up from a family of 9 kids, and, you know, they lived in Kentucky, and Grandpa had a 4-room house with 9 kids, you know. But every one of those kids graduated from high school, and some of them went on to college and stuff. Not because Grandpa had any money, but because he taught them the importance of hard work and all that kind of stuff, and she was like that. And when my dad was alive, she didn't work. And after he passed away, she had to get out and go to work to support us. Well, you know, that was all fine and good. And, you know, she'd leave early in the morning. She'd always get up and fix us breakfast, leave early in the morning. She wouldn't get back home till about 5:30 or somewhere around there because she worked all the way on the other side of town. And she had to catch buses because she couldn't drive. So she'd have to transfer 2 or 3 times to get to work, and she'd have to leave real early in the morning to get there. Mother almost never missed a day of work. She was very dependable. And just thinking about her, you know, makes me cry a little bit. But when I was 9 years old, I started having seizures. And I had epilepsy for about 3.5 years till I was about 12. But, you know, mother was a Christian and she'd got saved after my dad died. And, you know, she used to take me to church with her all the time. I had the first seizure when I was 9 years old in church, you know, and right after Sunday school. And anyway, you know, mother had a real good relationship with the Lord, and the Lord opened all kind of things up to her. You know, she was into a deeper word. She was into a lot of the things that we teach, you know, today. She was into a lot of that stuff because she got hooked up with Ray Prenzing and different ones like that. And anyway, you know, so I can imagine how she felt getting up every morning and having to go to work and leaving me at home, knowing I had to walk to school. And, you know, you can imagine how a mother would have felt knowing that their kid had seizures, and I could have had a seizure walking across the street or anything else. And she had to trust God. she didn't have a choice, you know. And we were never on any public assistance or any of that kind of stuff. And mother was, she never got anything from anybody to help her. She was a very proud person, too proud, really, because I was sort of like her for a long time. And but anyway, I want to tell you, she probably many a day at work probably stood there and prayed, Lord, keep your hand on him, you know. Well, anyway, I've shared with you all about the epilepsy before. When I was 12, different times I went to see a lot of the biggest name evangelists around back then. It had the healing ministries, you know. A.A. Allen was traveling around then, and so was, I'm trying to think of his name, Oral Roberts, and all those different ones, you know, there was a bunch of them. And we went to see, William Branham, you know, went to a lot of different those kind of meetings as a kid, and I saw some miraculous things. I saw people be brought in on stretchers and get up and walk out of there, you know. And anyway, she was a tremendous mother. I mean, I'll say this, God, she was both mother and father. God didn't let her coddle us. She laid the law down to us. We was boys, and we both got in trouble at different times. And, you know, I gave her more trouble than my brother did, I think, because I went through a lot of things with having them seizures, because I had one in school, and I had gotten a lot of trouble in school, because when I had that one in school, people would say stuff to me, and if they said anything to me about that, the fight was on. I mean, we was going to fight at that point. And, you know, and that's the way it was. But anyway, she had to actually take off work a couple times and go to school for me, and they were wanting to kick me out of grade school because I was fighting so much with people and getting in trouble. And anyway, when I was about 12 years old, she took me to a lot of these meetings, but she never said, she never felt like I was supposed to be, she was supposed to take me forward and have me prayed for. She said she didn't feel like that. And she come out of the back room one time, and she told me, she said, son, if I know the voice of the Lord, God spoke to me when I was in there praying. And he said, I'm healing him. Not that I was healed, but like he was healing me, you know. And I understood that when she said that, but God didn't speak that to me. He spoke that to her. Well, anyway, just to let you know, God, I never had another seizure after that. But God made me learn to walk out of that by faith, and I did walk out of it by faith. And she'd always tell me for years, she'd say, son, don't get too entangled with the world. Someday God will require things of you. She was right. He did. And anyway, sorry, I'm crying. Thinking about her, I miss her. She was a great friend too. I could talk to her about the deeper things of the Lord and all that kind of stuff. And I miss her, you know. And anyway, I just wanted you to know she was a great mother. But her favorite scripture was Psalm 27, and I'm going to read that to you. And I know she stood on the scripture every day. Excuse me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies, my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble, and she knew that she was the temple of God. So she knew that. She knew all these scriptures because she had a deeper walk with the Lord. This was not something that she was thinking about some way out in yonder. She knew the Lord. And it said, and for in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in a secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me on high upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said unto you, my face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. And you know, she knew that the enemies were, a lot of the enemies were right up in her mind, telling her he's liable to get hit by a car. You know, what's going to happen to him, you know, every day when she'd go to work and have to go to work and stuff like that. And I know she worried about me. She had to, you know, because, you know, she just was a mother, you know. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain, smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses are risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that you to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I know that she did that. And I've got a scripture in Proverbs, and I think it's kind of funny that the Lord likens these things unto a woman in the scripture, because he talks about, he uses the word lady and she and all this kind of stuff. So listen to this, Proverbs 8, 1 through 36, and this is out of the Message Bible. It says, do you hear lady wisdom calling? Can you hear madam insight raising her voice? Kind of nice, he's talking about, you know, he's referring to the female gender there. He says, she's taken a stand at First and Main at the busiest intersection, right in the city square where the traffic is thickest, and she shouts, you, I'm talking to all of you, everyone out here on the streets. Listen, you idiots. And that's sounds like something your mama tell you, pay attention, stupid, you know. Listen, you idiots. Listen, good sense. You blockheads, shape up. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live well. I'm telling you how to live at your best. My mouth chews and savors and relishes truth. I can't stand the taste of evil. You'll only hear truth and right words from my mouth. Not one syllable will be twisted or skewed. You'll recognize this as true. You with open minds, and I'm going to tell you, we need to pray, God, let us have an open mind and open ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to us on a daily basis. And it says, you with open minds, truth, ready minds, will see it at once. Prefer my life disciplines over chasing after money, and God knowledge over a lucrative career. For wisdom is better than all the trappings of wealth, and nothing you could wish for holds a candle to her. I am Lady Wisdom, and I live next to sanity, knowledge, and discretion, live just down the street. The fear of God means hating evil. Those ways I hate with passion, pride, arrogance, and crooked talk. Good counsel and common sense are my characteristics. I am both insight and the virtue to live it out. With my help, leaders rule and lawmakers legislate fairly. You know what's wrong with the world today? They're not looking for God for help. They're trying to do it on their own, and they're making a mess of it. They need to, and don't be surprised if God don't allow something like happened when the towers hit that time, and you've seen them all out on the front portico of the Capitol building praying together. I'm telling you what, they need to do a lot of praying together now because it's a mess up there. But anyway, anyway, it says, with my help, leaders rule and lawmakers legislate fairly. It's funny it's talking about that, ain't it? With my help, governors govern along with all in legitimate authority. I love those who love me, and those who look for me will find me. Praise God. I love that. One more scripture and then I'm done. I'm not going to keep you a long time because it's Mother's Day. Y'all need to go love on your mothers and have dinner with them or whatever you can do. I wish I could go love on mine. I can't. I can love on her from this side of the veil. But that's it. Isaiah 40, 28, 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor is weary. God don't get weary. We do sometimes. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those, and this is where the name of this church came from, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, one time the Lord was dealing with me about this scripture years ago, and I was watching them do one of them Iron Man things where they do the running, they do the bicycling, they do the swimming, and the last thing they do is a big long run. And I was watching these guys, and they'd done all this stuff, and they got to that last thing, and they're running up this hill. And I'm looking at their face, and they're just exhausted and about to just fall over. And Mike was talking about this morning about a runner, you know, he ran in a marathon thing, and this guy was really kind of just totally out of it, apparently. He just run out of gas, and he was looking bad. And Mike had went past him, and then he turned around and thought, I'm going to go back and help him. So Mike went back and asked him, was he okay? I hope it's okay if I tell your story, Mike. Mike put his arm around him and said, here, let me help you. And I think they went a little ways, and then the guy kind of revived up, and then Mike said he ran the last leg of the race faster than he had any other time he had run it. So God gives you strength. He shows up miraculously. But I was thinking as I watched them guys run up that hill making all these gruesome-looking faces and sweating and looking all, and I was thinking, boy, what would it have looked like if they had been running up through there and just praising the Lord and not being all sweaty and nasty. And I mean, that would have been something super, wouldn't it? That's what this word here says. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I'm going to tell you what, when we find ourselves getting weary, we need to say, Lord, come into this situation. Let your strength be made perfect in our weakness. Let your power emanate in us and begin to give us the strength to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. You know, there's scriptures where David said, I had fainted unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, and I'm going to tell you what, sometimes you feel like you're going to faint with all the things that's going on and the things you get hit with. But I'm going to tell you what, God's always there. He's there. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He is your ever-present help in time of need. And I'm going to tell you, if we'll just acknowledge Him, He'll give you the strength. And what does Scripture say? Let the weak say what? I'm strong. Why are you strong? Because of God. Because He's inside of you. He that's altogether all strength and all power and all might is living right inside of you. And until you begin to acknowledge Him on a daily basis, sometimes you're going to get pretty weary. You're going to get pretty run down. You're going to get pretty tired. But I'm going to tell you what the neat thing about it is that when you acknowledge Him, He will give you that strength. He will give you that supernatural power. And I'm going to tell you, I know for a fact that my mother had to rely on that 27th Psalm every day when she left to go to work, leaving a 9-year-old kid by himself. And I walked to school by myself, you know, had to cross big roads and different things up through Mount Auburn and all that stuff. And, you know, I know that she had to, that had to be on her mind. I know it did. And you know what? She told me different times. She said, I knew that you had a big strength to go to school and to do the things. And I got in trouble in school. I did. I mean, I'd never told the kids any of this stuff. You know, I don't know if my sister told them any of this stuff, but I got in more trouble than any of the other kids. But it was because I was hurting. You know what I mean? I had those seizures, and I can remember climbing up in a tree and telling the Lord, Lord, why is this stupid place for me to be? Because if I had a seizure, I fell out and probably killed myself, you know. But I can remember, you know, getting in deep places of depression and stuff. So I understand depression. I know what it is. I know, when I see somebody in depression, I don't look by at them and say, well, why don't you pull yourself up out of there, you know. I want to hug them. I want to tell them, hey, I love you, man. Trust in the Lord. He'll bring you out of this thing, you know. And so many times we just don't understand what God allows us to go through. But I'm going to tell you what, you don't go through anything that God didn't know about way ahead of time, that He hadn't already planned to let happen in your life. And I'm going to tell you, I can feel compassion on people when I see them hurting. I can feel compassion on them when I see them, you know, in a dark place, because I was in some dark places, I'll tell you. But I'll tell you what, when the Lord took that away from me, those seizures, I quit having them, but that wasn't the end of it. I quit having them when I was 12, but I wrestled with them all the way up till I was 21. And after I got saved and was going to church, and was, you know, every time I used to have to go every 6 months to get my license. I used to have to go and have EEG tests, you know, to show that I was still in the bounds of normal. And I had those EEG tests, and originally it showed I had epilepsy, you know. But every time I'd go, I'd feel like I was going to have a seizure. Every time, you know, I'd have to go and take those tests, I'd feel like I was going to have a seizure. And I'd quote what Mother told me from a kid, say, devil, you're a liar, I don't receive this. And she'd say, quote, 2 Timothy verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I'd quote that over and over, and that feeling would go away. When I came to church, got saved, after a while I was in a prayer meeting, and this old brother come over to me, he had a prophetic ministry. He said, Brother Oscar, he said, Lord keeps speaking the word epilepsy to me concerning you. He said, you have epilepsy? I said, no. I didn't say, yeah. I said, no, because I didn't have it. He said, did you have it? I said, yes. He said, do you have a fear of it? I said, yes. He said, God wants you to confess that fear is gone. That was a Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And I'm telling you, you have to realize that I had had seizures in public, so I was very backward. I didn't want to get up in front of people. I don't want to get around large crowds or anything. Mark can tell you, when he was a kid, we didn't go to restaurants. We would eat in the car because I didn't like going to restaurants. And you know, but I don't have that problem anymore. You can look at me and tell that. But I can go in there just fine. But anyway, when he said that to me, I said, okay. And Brother Eddie said up in front of the church, he says, anybody have a testimony? It was on a Wednesday night. I'd just gotten that prophetic word on a Tuesday night. And I reluctantly raised my hand and said, yeah. And I got up, and it was hard for me to do that. And I got up and I said, I just want to thank the Lord for taking the fear of epilepsy away from me. Now, the minute I got up, I felt like I was going to have a seizure. And all the time I was standing there, I felt like I was going to have a seizure. Until I said, I want to thank the Lord for taking the fear of epilepsy away from me. And the minute I spoke those words, it was gone.
Amen.
And I've never had it since then. There's power in the word. There's power in the word. There's power in your words. The scripture says the power of life and death are in what? The tongue. Don't confess the negative things concerning you all the time. Confess what God's word declares concerning you. Confess that he says that you're the head and not the tail. Confess that he says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you within. Confess that you're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. And when you start confessing those things, guess what? You'll start conquering. You'll start overcoming. You'll start being everything that God said you are. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, like I said concerning Margaret. Margaret told me, she says, when she told me about that, and then I'm going to close with this. She told me about that dream she had years ago. You know, we were young, real young Christians then. And she said that I felt like that angel or whatever it was, the Lord, whoever it was, that I saw in my dream told me that it is written, you know. Well, I told her, I said, honey, when they say it's written, that's pretty strong. And she says, yeah, but I don't want no more kids. I said, well, it's written. And you know what? She did have kids, not physically, but she had them spiritually. And I'm going to tell you what, they're still her kids to this day. And she thinks as much of them as she does of her own kids. I mean, and she loves her kids, and she'd be there for them anytime they needed her for any situation or any circumstance. But I just want to tell you, just for Mother's Day, appreciate the motherhood even of God. Because his love nature of God, that love nature of God, it's like a mother. You know, when they saw Jesus in the book of Revelations, and he appeared to John, and John gave the description of what he saw, and I've shared this with you many a time, but he gave the description, and he said his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his hair was like white like wool. And they said, and his paps were girded about as it were with gold. And paps is a word for female breasts. That's not the word that he used for a man's chest. The paps is the word for female breast. And God dealt with me one time, and what he told me was that what John saw there, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He saw the fullness of the body of Christ, the fullness of Jesus standing up, which is a part of the church, which is his bride. And the church is supposed to give people the sincere milk of the word. And that's why he had paps. That's why he had breasts. And they were girded about with gold. And that's why it says it like that. Because you know what? The church, instead of pushing people away and telling them they're bad sinners, they need to start embracing them and embracing everybody, not just the certain ones, or not even just the ones who come forth and confess, but begin to embrace creation and pull them up to the breast and start giving them the sincere milk of the Word of God, whereby they might grow. And eventually they can grow and begin to eat the meat of the Word. And I tell you what, the church a lot of times is missing the mark because they're only going after certain people and they're telling their sinners. And I'm going to tell you what, they need to start going after all creation. And they need to start confessing what God says. When Jesus said, when he died on Calvary, he died for the sins of the whole world. The whole world, not just the Christian folks, not just a few folks. The whole world. That takes in everybody. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses. And if he's not in putting their trespasses, then you quit doing it. You start claiming them for the Lord. When you meet somebody that's lower than a snake's belly, mean, start claiming that person for Jesus Christ. Start praying for that person. Pray for those that despitefully use you. And in so... You heap coals of fire upon their head. Coals of fire, does that mean they're going to be burned up? No. That means it's just like what happened to Isaiah in the Old Testament when he in the year that King Uzziah died, he said he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Well, the train, you know, when I see somebody talking about a train, if you watched over in England when the royals came forth, they had these big long trains, and even after they had passed by, the train was still coming, you know. And I think of a wedding, and you know, when a bride comes down the aisle, the more glorious her dress is, the longer the train will be, you know. And even after she's passed by you, the glory of that train will keep coming, you know. And that's the way it is with the Lord. And we have to begin to start reaching out to creation more and more and praying for those that we see that are overtaken in a fault, like the scriptures say in Galatians. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. And I'm going to tell you what, if you find yourself being tempted, maybe you ain't praying for the ones out there that are in a fault, that you think are in a fault. And sometimes you're in just as much a fault as they are if you're not praying for them, because you're not doing what God's Word tells you to do. Praise God. Well, that's all I have to share with you today. If you all will stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Go out and have a nice time with your mother if she's here on this side. And if not, thank God for her on the other side. I like Mark's prayers too when we had that dinner. You know, we need to thank God for those mothers over there that gave their life for us. I'm telling you what, I can't imagine what my mother went through, because she wasn't working or anything when my dad died. 1950-something, and women didn't have that easy of a time finding a job back then. And I can tell you what, just like the scripture said, David said, once I was young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. And I can tell you what, I never seen mother have to beg for anything. God always supplied according to his riches and glory. And he always did. And I can tell you what, even when she passed away, she didn't owe anybody anything. And she was getting $12,000 a year on Social Security. That's what her Social Security was. Not much money. It's only been a few years ago when she died. And she got about $200 a month from her retirement from Millicron, which wasn't much money. But I tell you what, God always supplied according to his riches and glory. And she always paid her bills, and she had excellent credit when she died. She went on to be with the Lord. She stepped through the veil of this false life, this temporal life, into eternal life. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to just bless all the mothers out there. Bless the ones that aren't in here today and the ones that are with you. And as we go forward, Father, just help us to be a blessing to everyone we come in contact with. You've caused us to move up into the order of Melchizedek, the order of blessing and not cursing. We're supposed to bless and curse not. And Father, I just ask you to let us be a blessing to everybody we come in contact with. In Jesus' name I pray, I give you all praise, I give you all glory, I give you all honor, for there's no one worthy of it but you. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. If anybody wants prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you.